It's worth mentioning that there are just so many backroom people who do things that don't get seen very much. One of those areas, of course, is in children's work. And nobody noticed the children's workers until they're not there. And then, boy, do they get noticed. You get loads of panicked parents when we say, well, you look after kids all week, why don't you do it on Sunday? Mm. Yeah. So we're grateful for those who serve in so many areas. Okay, now, we push the boundaries, and I'm going to push the boundaries just a little bit more this morning. I am hugely enjoying preaching this autumn because of having such a mix of people. And there was an occasion recently when we felt we'd bridged the gap between 13 and 90 because of the reports we got from either end. Sometimes we leave out the middle. I don't want to leave out anybody when I'm speaking, but I want you to understand that I have a particular attitude and approach to speaking on Sunday for those of you who have been Christians for a while. The first thing is this: I see myself as having very limited responsibilities in speaking to you. Okay? If I have any contribution to make, it's to offer you pointers, which you can then pick up and run with, so you do it yourself. And they will be there, and if you're not sure of where they are, you can come and ask me, and I will show you how my talk is differentiated and where I'm keen for you to get in the word. If you feel we are not giving you enough, there is, come to me and say to me, I have done everything that God has asked me to. I am living out the gospel. I do not know what to do next. Tell me some more so that I can move on. Those who are in that position, form a queue after the meeting, and we'll go for some special challenge and instruction. But of course, the best way of all of developing and challenging yourself is by being a disciple maker. And I find that the more I interact with other Christians, the more I learn about God and about his word. Now, last time I spoke, I showed you that viral video called Potty Talk and talked about the fact that we need to learn to think about and to articulate what's going on in our lives. And that's important. I'm going to do another thing this morning, which I sort of pushed at when I was watching Breaking of Bread, which is about putting things in context and in place. And part of what I'm doing this morning is because of something I've been thinking about for a long time. Part of it is because we're right up against it as far as preparing our Christmas event. And I was clear about the way we should approach it back in June and haven't been able to do, or haven't got round to doing, very much work on it. And we're just at that point. And I thought what we needed to do was to get into that and do some thinking about it. So the my question this morning is this: how much good news is there in Santa Land? How much good news is there in Santa Land? And this morning, I want to do what you should be doing every day of your life, and that is looking at what God is saying in context. So, here we go. And the first video is chosen with all believers in mind. Oh, you need that. I've had enough of that. I've been singing that wretched song all week, and in some detail, and actually had some concentrated textual discussions last week with people who have sung it in choir because I have misinterpreted or misquoted the words. So, my goals today are first of all to get us to think about what the gospel is as we're coming up to Christmas time, and how the sort of pictures and images that people have got in mind can be interacted with, how we can respond to them, can be engaged with. The second is for us to get the idea that every day of our lives we are working into a particular situation. And what the gospel is in your class at school is different to how we express the gospel, the bits of the gospel that make sense is the best way of saying it, to how it is in your work, or when you're in the shops, or when you're watching TV. And I'm going to use about 5 Bible verses this morning to engage with Santa Claus. Okay? You all look as though you're not terribly sure whether this is what you want to do. But let me start. Cliff College, we had a great time on Wednesday with the guys in Swansea. The previous week I'd been at Cliff College, and on the Thursday morning we were invited to a book launch. And there was a really old guy, older than me, who was launching a book. And his name is Timothy Yates, Canon Dr. Timothy Yates. And he was talking from his time being a missionary in Darwin, Northern Australia, and reaching into New Zealand to the Maori people. Now, the biggest image we have got in our minds of what it means to be a Maori is this one, isn't it? And of course that's called a haka, isn't it? It's a Maori war dance. And the story that Tim Yates told was what happened in the first years that missionaries went to preach to the Maori in New Zealand. And he talked about the fact that they came across all sorts of things. They were people who were strongly loyal to their families. They looked out for one another, but as well as that, they were extremely warlike. There was the issue of polygamy and child murder, and of course the famous one is there was the thing about cannibalism. How do you preach the gospel to people who eat their enemies? Well, everybody eats their enemies. We do our best to destroy them and to obliterate them. And he went on to say, he said that sometimes, he said there was a reason for it, and they wanted to ensure that their enemies had no continued existence in the afterlife. He said, but sometimes it was just because they liked the taste. And he said it without the glimmer of a smile, which I don't think the rest of the audience managed at that particular point. But how do you address the gospel in that condition, in sort of situation? And he went on to talk about it, because wherever we are sharing the gospel, there are some things we can say yes to. Some things in any society have got the spirit of Jesus about them. That's because people are made in God's image. And wherever you go, however rough people are, however wild they are, however hedonistic they seem, however uninterested in the gospel or unpleasant they are, there are things we can say yes to. There are also things where there's not quite enough gospel. Yeah? Yeah. In our environment, there's this business about things will turn out all right in the end. You know? And we've got an and to that. And God is there to help you. So we can say yes to some things. We can say yes and. There are some things that we say yes but. It's great to say yes and before you say yes but. Okay, there's some things that need modifying. Because people's interest in their children is something that is really strong in our society, and it's great to affirm people's desire to love their children, to look after them, to encourage them, but then we want to say yes but have you thought about the spiritual dimension of life? And making a lot of money, getting good exams is not really what it's all about. Okay, that there are other things in life as well, and there are some things that we just have to say a plain no to. And the biggest one for us, of course, is our consumer society. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm going to get away with this, but I really would like to try and do something to get us into the song. We won't use the Justin Bieber version, but here I have a karaoke version of Mariah Carey's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And I would really like you to sing it.
And, this is your moment.
Yeah. And I would like you to sing it because I want us to look at the words. And because we're going to make it the theme, or, if you like, the springboard for our Christmas event. Okay? So, if you're looking at your diary now to see that you've double booked and need to be somewhere else, you could do that. But I'm going to explain why. Can you be with us on that day, Andy?
What day is that?
The 15th.
I imagine the question is yes.
Great. I don't need you to lead the singing. But let's just see. I was thinking that this morning. You needed Matthew as much as I do. Yeah. Here we go. You can just think, begin to fill your lungs with air in order to sing. Give yourselves a clap, guys. You people are great. I wasn't sure whether we'd do that. I know some of you looked somewhat horrified, but guys, just get real. This is where people are. This is what people are thinking about. And unless we're going to engage with this kind of issue, you will not feel happy in Dayspring. Okay? Because my goal is this, that if people come to our Christmas event, as we tell the story of Jesus, they end up being prepared to give up everything, to sell everything, to invest their life in, if only it could be true. And when that starts to happen, we're on the starting blocks. So, what are my theological hooks this morning? Right, Santa's good news. How much good news is there in Santa Land? Got five of them. You would have picked some of these up. You better not cry. Okay, it's the first one. The second one in Santa Land is he's making a list. The third one is he sees you sleeping or awake. The fourth one is he knows if you've been bad or good. And finally, and this one is in the 1934 version that we don't often hear, the kids will have a jubilee. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. And I just want to take you through those sort of super quick and then do some reflection on the thing at the end. I'm not going to put the fun videos up. You can find those yourself. I've put the important one up, and we'll put the Bible references up as well with the talk. But okay, so the first thing is about the fact that Christmas is a time when you have to be happy. It's all ho, ho, ho. Okay? You know, the gospel isn't bar humbug, but it does say this, right? You've recorded my misery, put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your record? Okay? Guys, one of the things we want to say 365 days of the year, it's okay to be sad. And when you're sad, God cares. I'm one of those people who cry quite a lot. There are some things which are okay to cry about, I guess, and some things which are not. I don't think if you're watching a sad feature film, your tears go into God's bottle. Okay? I think if you're watching the news and you cry, they do. Yeah? Have a think about why that is. If we had time, I'd be asking you to discuss it. I don't think God cares what you think about Bambi. Now, I'm prepared to have that one argued through and put it on paper. But I think that God cares much more about that little boy who was sitting underneath a piece of plastic in the Philippines. And if you watch the news without crying, I very much doubt whether you've begun to engage with the love of God. Because the stuff we see up there is so sad. Bad things happen to us. And God counts those tears when we grieve, when we're sad, when we're really hurt. I don't think he does much with the tears of self-pity because we can't get our own way. But some of us are like that. We think if we turn the tears on, then people would do what they want, what we want them to. God doesn't count those tears, but God's racked up your tears. Your tears are not wasted. So in Santa Land, it's ho-ho. In Jesus' land, it's our tears are kept and stored and recognised. Of course, they're not the only thing that are kept in God's bottle or on God's list. If you look at the NIV, by the way, you won't get the bottle thing. The strange thing is that some translations translate "you put my tears in the bottle" as "you've listed them on a scroll." Right, and modern translations are going between one and the other, which just shows the problems that we sometimes talk about reading the Old Testament. Okay, the next thing is that Santa Claus is making a list. He's making a list, he's checking it twice, because he wants to find out who's naughty or nice. Okay, two categories that people fall into. How do you often feel like that? That you're always in a position where the good stuff and the bad stuff are being reckoned up in your life? Not so. There's another book that's worth thinking about. You can think about the negatives too. But rejoice. Rejoice, guys. Your names are written on the list that counts. They're written in heaven. Okay, so Sue had a good week. You think, I did this and this and this bad, three things bad, two things good. On the debit side. No, we don't live like that. We can never do anything to make God love us more. And we can never do anything to make him love us less. And when we turn to him in repentance and faith and we say, Jesus, I need you. Everything's okay. We are genuinely rescued. We're not bobbing around in the sea, hoping that one day we will be rescued just before we die. Yeah? So, making a list? Not terribly sure about that one. Is that one of the things we say, yes but, yes and? Or, what a load of rubbish? Mind you, Santa's watching you. This is dead scary, isn't it? Somebody was telling me that apparently Rolf had a German Father Christmas who used to scare the stuffing out of him when he was a kid. The whole thought. I understand that some of these Santas are pretty grim. But there is a different sort of thing, isn't there? That God's watching us. Do you ever think about that? When you're not well, when you're on your own, when you're feeling that you're going to be bullied, when people are being unfair to you. I think this is a lovely, lovely bit. If you could just take this around with you this week, that'd be great. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Actually goes on to say, he watches your comings in and your goings out all the time. So, Santa watches over us to see when we're doing something really bad that can't be seen by other people. God watches over us. He's not watching over us to catch us out because he knows how bad. Sorry?
125 doesn't have 7.
Doesn't have verse 7. Try 121. Yeah? I've got 121 in my head and 125 on my paper. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you from all harm. Actually, the whole psalm's good because it talks about God watching over us right from the beginning, doesn't it? So, sleeping or awake, and then we're going to go on to the big one. And I thought I would... Sometimes you see an unbelievable piece of film out there. And, guys, this is really good. Now, I want to preempt something. Oh, no, I'll do that at the end. Right. I'll preempt it at the end.
Yeah. How to get on Santa's good list.
Woohoo! Hey, educational news.
Now, look, guys, if you want to find a way of thinking about legalism, the law, and grace, that's a brilliant way to start, isn't it? Because actually, all those things matter. I think that girl at one point, when she was tidying her bed, was actually stuffing a half-eaten sandwich under the pillow. Because that's what people... Well, they didn't. They stuck them under the bed, of course, and they would build up over the course of a week. So doing good stuff is doing good stuff. Keeping your room tidy matters. But guys, it's not going to make any difference with God. Right? It may save your parents from going insane. Right? No doubt, particularly this business about having everything ready for school the night before. Really important, because I've entered into that again recently, and I've just remembered just how much it drives me completely crazy, right? Signing homework notebooks late at night after people are supposed to be in bed. Yeah? All those things don't really matter when it comes to spiritual stuff. Okay? Because God has accepted us. So, let's just go on to be consistent, have a look at the Bible. You know this thing about the fact that if kids were bad, the theory was they got bits of coal. That's actually a sweet made to look black like that to as part of the image. But,
easy to make them do.
See? But here's the difference. It's not about us being good or bad. It's about what happened on the cross, isn't it? That's part of the gospel. Do you see why I say that if we're getting the story over correctly, and it may take ages for us to do it with people that we talk to every day of the year, I would really like to see them thinking, if only this were true, it would be worth giving up everything for. Because the good news about Jesus is really good news. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. And now I'm just going to leave Santa alone for a minute or two, because I'm going to let the reindeer in. I'm just boiling here. I think it just is pretty warm in here. Oh, it either seems to be too warm or too cold, doesn't it? But I want to pick some... Oh, no, I've still got this one about Jubilee. You know that Jubilee in the Old Testament was a time... And this really does influence my political views. I know people have been complaining recently about the way we've been exploring some of the political issues. And that's fine, because there are arguments on all sides. But the big thing here was that in the Old Testament, God's plan was that you should never have a king. That was one thing. And that you should never be able to own land. Okay? So the Communist Manifesto is actually pretty hot on that particular thing, because ownership of land leads to all sorts of troubles. It allows big, big, big enterprises to grow and all sorts of other things. After 50 years, God's idea was that you handed land back to its original owners. So if your parents had been feckless, it didn't mean that your children were going to be poor because of it. And if you had real success in business, well, you had your success in business, but you had to give things back. And slaves had to be given back. In fact, that had to happen every 7 years, not even every 49 or 50 years. But I thought this was just an amazing song to mention this Hebrew word in the middle of it. The kids will have a jubilee, which, of course, it connects with having a pile of toys. But the message of jubilee is a message of freedom. It's a message about the cross, isn't it? All the kids, all the girls, boys and girls in Toyland will have a jubilee. That's the jubilee, when we get to be free. The gospel. So if the Son sets you free, you will be super free. You'll be really free. Now, here's the thing. Okay? Christmas is great. I like looking round Whitehall garden centre, as most of you do. I particularly like Christmas lights. Me and Kira, we're together on this. But we need something more than one day a year when we go ho, 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 we get presents, we pretend things are all okay, and we do our best not to start a row with the more remote members of our family. The harm we'd... Shut up. Yeah? We need something more. We need the gospel of Jesus, not the gospel of Santa Land. There we are. Oops. Because, sorry, I just need to go back on this one. There's always one where it gets stuck. Won't do any harm to... I'm going to come back and pick it up. Okay. We're there. Father, just help us at this particular point. The harm we do to ourselves and the harm we do to others is a deeper problem than one that can be solved by Christmas. The way we react to the harm that we do to ourselves and is done to us by others is part of the problem too, because we have a choice about that. And the fact that when we do better we don't is part of the problem too. Now, all of this stuff leaves its mark. Just like a tattoo. Fear and anger and abandonment, jealousy, we're outcasts, even our own self-righteousness, because all our good deeds on that side, the Bible says, are like filthy rags. They smell, not to put too fine a point on it. And there needs to be an answer. Now, how do you answer the problem of a tattoo? A tattoo that's so deeply inked into your skin that it becomes part of you. I read about the fuss that was caused by this video during the week. I wanted to show you a cut from it, and I put the whole thing onto the web. That's a story. Jesus took those things on himself. And that is why, I'm sure you can understand, why if people really saw it, and if we really saw it, we wouldn't allow anything to stand in our way of seeing it become true. That's why we're committed to making disciples, helping one another to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our life. Because Jesus takes those negatives and contentment, freedom, acceptance, trust, courage, being loved and cherished, take the place of all those negative things which have spilled into our lives because of S-I-N, sin. We're going to pray in a moment, but I just wanted to, we've run out of time well and truly, but I just wanted to mention one of the other lists, a sort of list. Do you know there's a place in Isaiah 49 verse 16 where it says, your name is written on his hand. I wonder how he works his way round the scars. That's what it's about. Our name is on his hand. When Jesus looks down, when God looks down, he knows who we are. We're on his list. Now, how we work that into a Christmas event, probably not going to, but it's the underlying feelings and attitudes and the way we approach things that are going to be there. We will sing the Santa song. We will hint there's more to life than that. We will sing carols. We will in some way or another tell the Christmas story. But guys, we're counting on one another to be so laid out before God about this, that people come in and they'd be part of the event and they think something shifted inside of me. Can we pray? Some of you have found either that you've felt very sad because of things that have been triggered this morning, or you've found yourself pretty hopeful. Some of you will have found that what it's done is it's been like a doorbell ringing, or a connection being made, or a jigsaw piece fitting in place, and saying, yes, that's what all of this has been about. Whether it's the silly pictures, or whether it's the thing about the girl tidying her room, or whether it's the stuff about the tattoos, or whether it's feeling that Christmas is okay, but it's hardly worth the effort. And what I think is the best way to deal with this, because of the pressure on time, is just to say, here is an opportunity for you to anchor it right now. And to make the decision that you're not going to let go until you've found what God wants to do in you. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is to say, before you leave today, mention it to somebody. Don't mention it to somebody who you know is not going to give you trouble over it. But mention it to one of us who care enough about you to make sure that we keep chasing it down with you. There are a lot of people here like that. So, Father, I pray that you will put your word in our hearts, that you will continue to stir us, that we too will be willing to give up everything because of the wonder of what you started to do, or what you continue to do at Christmas, when your son became human and lived our life alongside us for us. Amen. Amen. You may have trouble working out how we got from where we started to where we finished, but I think there was a connection at least. Okay. We're back to noticing God next week, and the week after, Andy and Marion speaking.